Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we were talking about the fact that God knew from the beginning of creation what was going to happen and what is going to happen until the end of time. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foreknowledge is not an act of God. Rather, it is something that is always active with God. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, we read this, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." We call this the eternal now. What is meant by that? Well, God can see just as clearly a billion years from now as he sees this present moment. At the very beginning, even before the creation, God could see this moment that you're listening to me as he could the very moment of the beginning. His is an eternal now. Again, that's what Acts 15:18 teaches us. Known unto God are all, not most, not some, all his works from the beginning of the world. So foreknowledge is not an act of God. Rather, it's something always active with God. God is not bound by time. He sees as clearly 10,000 years from now as he sees this moment and the foundation of the world. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Because he knows what's going to happen, it does not mean that he makes it happen. In the Bible, we have the story of Elisha telling Hazael that as king of Syria, he would slaughter many Jews. Hazael asked Elisha if Elisha thought that he was a dog, that he would do such a horrendous thing. But it did happen years later. Does that mean that Elisha caused it to happen? No. It only means Elisha knew about it. I had a gentleman come to me one day, said, "Brother Andy, I'm starting a business." And he told me about it. And he says, "But we don't want anyone to know at this point. We will announce it later." And the day come and everything happened as he said. Now, just because I knew about it and knew about it ahead of time, that does not mean that I made it happen. I only knew that it would happen. Psalms 139 says, "He knows my thoughts afar off." But that doesn't mean that he made me think those thoughts. It says that he knows every word before I speak it. Does that mean if he knows our thoughts afar off and he knows every word before we speak it, does that mean that God, who is a holy God, that there is no unrighteousness in him at all, that cannot look on iniquity, does that mean that he has predestined a man to cuss, to do dreadful things, and have dreadful, vile thoughts? You see, it is the philosophy of Satan, just like much psychology, that tries to make someone else responsible for our behavior. In this case, through predestination, election, adoption, and foreknowledge, it's trying to make God responsible for our actions instead of ourselves. When someone rejects God, it's not because God elected them to do it. Rather, it means that God only knew they would do that, and he knew it from the beginning. You see, my friend, God made us free moral agents that we might choose to love him, not be chosen to be made to love him without the ability to resist loving him. My friend, love is a choice. And a person chooses to love or to reject Jesus Christ. I often tell young couples and young people, love is a choice. It's not something that just overcomes you and you can't help yourself. And even if you don't want it, you just can't stop. No, love is a choice. That's why the Lord commanded us to love our wives. We think of Isaac. Isaac was married to Rebekah before he even met her. In the Bible, you have that happening many times where women were chosen for their husbands before the husband and the woman ever met. And yet the husband was commanded to love her and not be bitter against her. And even in Jacob's time, when he was tricked into marrying Leah first, God judged Jacob because he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he wouldn't let Rachel bear children, but instead it was Leah for the first four kids through Leah. And then there was a couple more through Rachel's handmaid, and then a couple more through Leah's handmaid, before finally God opened up Rachel's womb to have children. But understand that God didn't like the fact that Jacob did not love his wife Leah, even though Leah was not his choice. Love is a choice, and you choose to love God or not love him. When I met my wife, I didn't just all of a sudden, I wasn't in love and couldn't help myself. No, I chose that. I saw her, I thought, well, she's a pretty girl. I want to date her. It wasn't her mind. It wasn't her knowledge. It wasn't anything else that overwhelmed me. I just said, she's pretty. I want to date her. But after I started to date her, I wanted to learn as much as I could about her that I might please her. When you choose to love God, you want to know as much as you can, and you find it out in the Word of God that you might please him. Now, we must not only stay within the context of this passage and stay within the scriptural definition. We must stay within the parameters as well for our salvation. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, since you're not predestinated to go to hell or to heaven, what is your choice? Notice God's desire. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if the all come to repentance referred only to the elected to be saved before the foundation of the world that could not be lost, then wouldn't that verse be kind of crazy? Wouldn't that verse be something that was just a little bit offbeat to say that he's not willing that any should perish? Well, they're not going to perish anyway if they were already elected. No, you choose to receive Christ. He draws. He puts it out there, but you choose. Now, I chose to ask my wife to date me before we were married. And I chose to ask her to marry me. Now, I sought her. However, it was her that had to choose to receive my love, my invitations. Like matter, God seeks you first. But you must choose to receive his love. And so in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, he says, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Salvation is God's work. Salvation is of the Lord. Our part is not a work. Rather, our part is acceptance by repentance and faith. And when I say repent, I do not mean do penance. Repent is a change of the mind. It means to turn from. You're turning from sin and self, that is, from depending on yourself as the way, and you're trusting wholly in Christ. You say, but Brother Andy, I've tried to turn from my sin, and I keep falling back into the same thing. That's right. You see, repentance is something that takes place in the heart. If it's something that you could do in your body, it would be penance. But you see, repentance is an attitude of the heart that says, Lord, I cannot take my sin away. I cannot turn from it. But I am not only willing, I want you to take my sin away. Please take my sin away. And so you're repenting by allowing him and wanting him to take your sin away. I realize there are people today that teach, oh, live like you want to. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. And you're saved and you can live like you want to and do what you don't have to change a thing. Oh, my friend, that kind of attitude which says, hey, I can still drink, I can still go to the clubs, I will still do all this stuff and all this evil. That is not salvation. No, you're turning from yourself, you're trusting wholly in the work of Christ, that when he died on the cross, shedding his precious blood for your sin, that he paid in full for every sin you ever have and ever will commit. When they buried his body, his spirit went into the depths of hell and preached to the spirits in prison. 3 days later, he rose up victorious over hell and the grave. Therefore, Revelation 1:18 says, he has the keys of hell and of death. Now, my friend, repentance does not save you, and calling upon the Lord Jesus does not save. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves. In Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I find it interesting, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Some people have perverted Bibles that leave out through his blood. Why would they want to leave the blood of Christ out? What is their purpose? Because in the very best manuscripts, through his blood is there. And other Bibles have it italicized, even though it's in the best manuscripts. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through his blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is the work. It's not anything we do. We just believe it and receive it. Believing is not a work. We're not saved by our belief. We're not saved by our repentance. We're not saved by our calling. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We simply believe in his shed blood and in his resurrection. His literal bodily resurrection. Your part is acceptance by repentance, belief, and calling upon the Lord to save you. He wants to appropriate election to you today. An election that took place before your birth, just like the cross took place before your birth. And he will do that immediately when you receive his love, when you receive his salvation. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.